Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Well, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, hallelujah, God is on the move, and I'm so excited. And happy Father's Day, by the way, and thank you for tuning in. I'm really excited because, you know, as we talk about Father's Day today, I've got some real fathers in here with me in the studio. I have got Gage, Angeli.
Yes, hello. How are you all today?
And I've got James.
Hello.
Of course, you
James.
Hello, James. Yeah, James, the other half, my hubby. And also, I'm going to, Jim, we need to hear from you tonight as well. I know you're the producer engineer, but, you know, this is a subject I think that you could really add some info for us.
I think I'm very busy, Natalie. But
that's what I seem to hear from you a lot.
That's right. I work at it very hard. But
yes.
I'll do my best to help you out.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. As you know, today is Father's Day. I hope you guys had good Father's Day celebrations with your families. And what is really on my heart right now, especially because this last Wednesday, we've been doing on Wednesday nights an inner healing with Jimmy Evans. And he's actually, the very first week, was talking about our fathers, or basically our parents, but then our fathers, and how our fathers are with us, how we relate to our Heavenly Father. And so, but the fact of the matter is we are human and we just make mistakes. And we talked about that on Mother's Day, is, you know what, we don't always get it right. But with that being said, I want to just, if you guys would just share tonight a little bit about yourselves and what it means to you to be a father. Tell us about your kids. Tell a little bit about, we'll just kind of take turns, let you guys talk. And just be real, if you know, and just share, if you wouldn't mind, just sharing what it's like to be a dad.
Pretty scary every day.
Yes. Fear of failure, I think.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily fear, but that's the wrong word for us Christians. But it's still, you want to do it right.
Yes, absolutely. I can't remember not being a father. It's been, you know, I mean, that's how fast it goes by. But I also can remember just the nervous, you know, of that responsibility that sets in on you, and still right in the middle of it. I've got a 17-year-old, fixing to be 18-year-old, that's going to be senior this year, my daughter Braxton, which is exciting and scary, just going into, you know, you've spent your whole raising them to prepare them to go off on their own, but then you're scared to death that they're, you know, going off on their own. And then I've got a 15, soon to be 16-year-old son that's, you know, in all the driving and all that good stuff. And then another son rider that's 12, fixing to be 13. So I'm right in the middle of the whole father thing.
You're in the middle of it all. Yes. Getting towards the rearing end, I guess.
It is, and that's scary. I say, no, scary is not the right word. It is just a new chapter. You know, I mean, every year starts a new chapter, and they're certainly different, but I wouldn't trade any of it for anything. That's just, I mean, people ask us what we do. I can speak for me, and I think most fathers that I look at or that talk to or that I look up to, you know, you get Well, what do you do for a living? I'm a father first.
Right.
I want to say that. It doesn't, you know, it's not construction. It's not cows. It's, but as society, we'd actually tell what we do as a career. But if I'm picking, it's going to be a father first. That's going to come, you know, in front of all that. The pay's not very good, but it is. The hours are unbelievable. the monetary pay's not very good.
Yeah.
But, I think we're quick to, you know, overlook that, the importance of it. But, I mean, truly, and mothers, you know, I mean, that's our first number one job, I feel like. It is at our house, you know, for sure.
That's right. And as a ministry as well. That
absolutely.
God gave you those children. Yeah. Well, Jen, up there, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family and maybe some of your thoughts on being a father.
Well, I don't have very many thoughts, that is.
Whatever. We're just going to pull them out of you.
It's late at night, so, you know, it's hard for me to think. But, no, I am the father of three natural children, and I raised three additional besides that. And there was a time when I had all six to be responsible for. And so I have that perspective of raising a family and raising a blended family. And
yes.
And so forth. So yeah, I have that perspective, but you know, I'm the guy that worked. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what my first responsibility was to make sure I could provide for those children and to do what was necessary for them. And primarily that involved, I worked a lot, you know, sometimes two or three jobs at a time, but it was necessary. James is right. The financial pay, or Gage said that, is not great. But, wow, the rewards are fantastic, you know.
Right.
If you raise good kids, and, gosh, then if grandkids come along and all those other things, too. So
you get to reap those rewards.
Right. And then you get to spoil those kids and send them back home, you know.
So how old are your kids?
My oldest would be 38, and my oldest living daughter is 37, and my son is fixing to be 36. And then I had three steps thereafter that are 34, 32, and 26.
So you're seasoned in fatherhood.
Well, time-wise, yes.
Do you think you have it all figured out?
No. I'm sorry. No.
Well, thank goodness that you're honest with us.
Stopped and took a breath to make you think I had to think about that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. But no, I didn't. I don't know that I did a good job of it. I did the best I knew how. I raised all the kids tight in a good, close church. And, but for the grace of God, I wouldn't have got through that period because I did find the older couples who would take me under their wing and to be that grandfather to my children and, mm-hmm. you know, to be a father to me. I didn't raise my kids anywhere close to my family. Not after they were more than 2 or 3 years old. We moved off and then we weren't close. And so I didn't have that immediate mom and dad around, you know. I couldn't run to them and say, hey, we got to go somewhere and watch the kids. It didn't happen, you know. So we had friends and we had mentors in the church and older men and older women who gave us an example and, you know, took us in and
that's great.
And loved us and were that example to us that I and the mother of my children never had from our own parents. And it was no fault of theirs. It was just, we didn't have that example.
So did you find it difficult that you didn't have immediate family? Or did, I mean, I know the church came in and you had mentors and friends, but was that a struggle for you?
Not really, because I didn't know any difference. I wasn't raised with family being there to help my parents out either. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, we all just do what we're raised with. What we see when we grow up is what we think is what's normal. And so I didn't have a quote-unquote relationship with my grandparents. You know, my father was the youngest of his family, and my mother was fifth of seven. And so their parents were very old when I was born because I'm the youngest. So I didn't grow up knowing any grandparents. And this, hey, let's go visit grandma and grandpa and spend the weekend. That never, ever happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that is. And so, therefore, I don't know how to do that as a grandfather either. Because I didn't have that example. But for learning it from other people, the mentors that God has placed in my life, the older couples who took us in. You know, I could call names like R.L. and Rosina Zeebach. God bless them. They took my wife and kids and I in and treated us just like we were children and grandchildren. You know, and Earl and Betty Husted, great folks in this community.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wonderful people that gave me a lot of that example. We went to a lot of seminars and church events and camps and things like that to kind of feel what it was to be a parent and how to raise kids right. And it was in a small community for the most part with my first three children. And you know, the wonderful thing about living in a small, close-knit community like we do. Everybody looks out for each other.
That's right.
You know, it's 10 blocks from one side of this town to the other. I never worried the kids were very far from home if they wasn't home, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was, but as far as having that example direct, I didn't have it in my life. And so I've done the best I could with what God gave me to work with, kind of, you know.
Looks like things have all done well. And one question that I have is, okay, so you've mentioned that your children are all pretty much in their 30s,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
And so once they move out, is parenting done? Are you done being a dad? Or
your role changes. I believe, as you mentioned earlier, that God gives us those children for a period of time. And it's our job to nurture those children in the admonition of the Lord and to raise them in the way they should go, like Proverbs says. But I'll quote my big brother here, since he's not around anymore. When they're free, white, and 18, there's not much you can do to tell them what to do. You know?
That's right. Yeah, we say you growed at our house. You know,
yeah.
And it's
so
time for you to make your own decisions.
It was, you know,
yeah.
And so your role has to change. My children still come to me and they talk to me. I don't tell them what to do because I want to maintain a relationship with them. And so I have to have a relationship with them that's not judgmental. But if they say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? Well, I'm free to answer that question.
Yes.
But for me to butt in and say, hey, you know, you ought to be doing such and such. Well, that's a good way to drive a wedge between you and your child so that they won't come to you when they really do need
something. That's good advice.
And if God gives me the wisdom to deal with them, then I don't need to have a reason for them not to come to me for me to speak godly wisdom into their lives. And so that's been my goal once they grew up and left home, as you say, is to maintain that relationship so that I can speak into their lives when the opportunity is there.
And that they would come to you and feel comfortable
right, feel
enough
comfortable
to say,
doing so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, ask you for that advice.
Right.
Well, Gage, as Jim was talking, and we were talking about, was it hard not having your family close to home? Now, is that where you were shaking your head like that? It really wasn't that hard. So was that something that maybe you and Kim had to go through, not being around family very much?
I don't know that it was hard. We like Jim said, Kim and I got married and we moved up here and we weren't, our extended family, none of them were here close. And so it was just Kim and I having kids. And so again, like he said, it was almost verbatim about how we just leaned on the community and the wonderful blessing of a small community. You know,
yes.
It's kind of old school, like a tribe. You know, we leaned on them for help and advice and stuff like that with not having, you know, family right here close. I don't feel like it was a disadvantage or, you know, we never felt like that. It's what we chose to do. And again, I think it built a stronger bond as far as with community. I'm not saying it's everybody's cup of tea, but it certainly is a fit for us for just Wheeler County in general. Just a small, close knit community.
Yes.
and really taking to heart the Kim and I strongly leaned on the ones that already been there and done that. You know, the advice on that people we looked up to, older couples that we looked up to, And like I said, and helping with the kids and the church nursery and the ladies in the nursery and I just little things like that stick out throughout the whole deal on what we remember. And, it just made a big, big difference and a big impact on us on how we felt like, it helped our family. And again, I don't know that we, that we missed them or that it helped build a community. You know, it helped build a bond with our kids, with the community, and everybody else. You know, there's just countless stories that I can tell, you know, on that, on, you know, raising kids and the nervous and not necessarily having grandparents or, you know, siblings or whatever to talk to on questions. I can remember Kim was pregnant with Braxton and we moved here, in 2000, got married in 2000, moved here in later 2000, and it was just her and I for 3 or 4 years before we had Braxton, and Kim was pregnant with Braxton, and just, you know, newlyweds still, but scared to death. I can remember being scared to death, and there was a gentleman in Wheeler County that really looked up to, an older gentleman, had raised a wonderful family, great operator on his cattle business and everything else, and I helped him a lot, and you know, he said, "Well, how's it going, Gage, today?" And I said, "Well, it's going good, but I'm just nervous getting close to having this kid, and I'm freaking out, you know." And Mr. Oldham, he looked at me and said, "Oh, Gage, you'll be all right." And I said, "Well, this isn't a horse or a dog." I said, "This is a kid. You know, this is pretty serious." He said, "Oh," he said, "you'll be all right." And I said, "I don't know." He said, "I've been around you enough." He said, "You got a good dog. You got good horses." And I said, "But still, Mr. Oldham, this is not either one of them. This is a kid.
It's a new human being."
and he said, I can still remember it exactly. He said, "Well," he said, "what does it take to get them dogs to act right, them horses to do what you want them to?" I said, "Man, it takes a lot of time." And he said, "It's no different."
He said, that's your
time. He said, "I will tell you, you won't have very many good dogs or good horses while you have kids, because you can't have enough time to do both. They require too much time." But that stuck with me. Just that little nitpick of advice that it just takes time. And that's what the kids, from when they're little bitty to when they're grown, and then even now, like Jim said, when they're in their 30s and they still, you take the time to listen to their stories or give them advice. I think that's the key term, that it's time.
That's right.
Yep.
That is some good advice. All right, James, well, tell us a little bit about your kids and your life, and I'll just stay out of it.
Well, we have 30-year-old daughter, and then we have 28-year-old twin boys, and so that was all three babies, and so we got to spend plenty of sleepless nights early, and we had family around. We had your side and my side both. We had family, we had lots of family to turn to, you know what I mean? And so, and we weren't really... We went to church, you know, but I don't remember ever. Now, there was some older guys in the church maybe that I looked up to, but I don't remember ever thinking. I never thought to ask them for any kind of fatherly advice. It's something I never thought about, because I think I was raised. My dad lost his dad when he was about 7, you know, in a hay baler accident. And so it was my dad's family, although they were, you know, almost all boys, and they were just, you worked, you know what I mean? You just worked for everything you got, and you just do it yourself kind of deal, you know what I mean? You just man up, put on your work boots, and go do it. You know, you work hard enough, you'll have what you need. And so that mentality somewhat was what I had in my deal, is, you know, if I can work hard enough, I can provide for my family, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I spent as much time as I could with them, and I, you know, all that. But the main thing, like I said, it was providing and being that provider. And that was one of the things, like Jim said, you got to feed them. You got a new mouse to feed, you know, especially the two weeks having to feed them boys. Good Lord.
Well, and Presley was still in diapers.
Yeah, well, I remember when we brought the boys home, I remember you telling Presley, "Well, you're getting potty trained now, because we're not buying diapers for 3. You know, it's a no choice of your own, but I'm sorry, honey, you are done with diapers, you know. And, you know, she was easy. She just, I think the biggest deal she did was that she would get ticked off that she couldn't stand up and go pee like Dad did, you know. She was mad.
Oh, yeah. She wanted to know how
she
come
wanted
she
to stand up. And she's like, "You can't. Well, Dad does, you know." Yeah. So, anyway, that was one of those things there. But it was, as far as coming up, you know, I mean, we had family that watched them and stuff like that. And I worked a lot, but I still spent as much time with them, you know, as I could. But we didn't know, you know what I mean? I knew my dad worked a lot, you know. I mean, when he was home, it was, I remember him being, when he gets home, you know, you got to, most of the time, mom had got to the point where I'm telling your dad when he gets home, you know. And so you'd just been all, gotten away with as much as you could. And then you had to try to spend the last few hours convincing mom, please don't tell dad. Because when dad got home, you know, and if she did tell him, you know, then that was, he's going to work all day, come home, now he's got to spank us, you know what I mean? So he got his money's worth when he did. And so it was pretty convincing to talk mom out of that deal best we could. But as far as following in on what my parents did, like I said, you play the hand you're dealt, you know what I mean? You're raised a certain way, and you just automatically think that's how people should be raised, unless, of course, it was an abusive situation. And I know about half the people, I think, abuse their kids that were abused, you know, and then the other half will go plumb opposite, and they're not going to lay a hand on them, you know, because it's...
Oh, you mean like because that's how they were raised?
Right. So, I mean, I know it's a big thing in the way you were grown, and it's how you understand it. And like I said, it's being raised in a church around godly people that you look to for influence. We were in a church. I don't remember ever really taking advantage of that, because I know there's people that would have helped us. But I had the mentality of that I got to do it. You know, I'm the man of this family. That, you know, that's the way my dad was, that you just got to do it. You know, you don't ask for help. You don't look for help. You just do it. You know what I mean? And so, not saying that was wrong, but that, you know, that's when I was the first Thomas of the family to actually graduate high school, because they had all gone to work early, you know. None of them ever finished school. No, they had to. And, you know, it was eat or work. You know, you can go to school and not eat, or, you know, type deal. And so they all worked. And so it was a family of hard work, you know what I mean? And so I took that, and I could kind of see that. I could kind of see some of that, how maybe it was the fact that I didn't maybe have as close a relationship with my father as I wanted me and my children to have. And so I would back off of some of that work and to spend more time with the children, where, you know, my dad didn't. He did, just in different ways. You know what I mean? Because if there was a baseball team or whatever, he was coaching. You know what I mean? And so anyway, he did spend lots of time with us. I'm not saying he didn't spend time with us. I'm just saying that it was in more of a different type deal. But like I said, you just have that example to go off of that you were shown, how you were raised. And so some of that you remember being negative, maybe you change some of that, you know what I mean? And sometimes it was negative. You didn't see it as negative. You keep it. But.
And that's what I was actually about to ask is, before you brought that up, was, and Jim and Gage kick in any time here, is with the father or how you were raised, has that contributed in the way that you've raised your own children?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, negative, positive. I had a wonderful father. Wouldn't trade it any minute for it. Well, of course, everybody has faults. No different. You know, I mean, I'm not. But, you know, I lots and lots of good times. I just a wonderful father on my whole childhood and everything else, through hard times, through good times. Just always just from his heart, just a happy man, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I really, really try to feed on that, you know, on that to see that you're just a good, bad, broke, not broke, whatever else. You just are a true, you know, happy on that. And, God-fearing man. I'm not going to say he was in church every Sunday, you know, and it wasn't a big discussion that he and I had a lot. And so that's something that I wanted to have more of a relationship and share, you know, God with and be closer with that he and I didn't, you know, to have with my children and their walk with Christ and through that whole deal. That was certainly something that wasn't there, that I don't guess I even noticed till you get older, until you start having kids. And, you know, I mean, on this deal that really, I was like, man, this is something that I didn't have. And I can't say that I didn't know any better. But I wanted to, okay, I didn't have this. I want my kids to be a part of their life, you know, for sure. As far as, Yeah, I mean, I can there, I, again, had a wonderful father and all the good stuff, you know, and bad stuff you learn from, you know, I mean, and there's certainly things that I do that my dad did that I said I'd never do.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say. There's going to be both ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we want, and I would think that you would want your children to do the same thing.
Yes.
Learn, you know, love you and know that we make mistakes, but, you go and you raise your children, how you, you know, what you feel
right.
like is best.
Yep.
And so, Jim, how about you?
How about me?
Yes. How about you? I'd like for you to answer that question.
Well, I sort of answered that earlier talking about my father.
True.
As I mentioned, my father was the youngest of the 9 children, and his father died when he was 23. His father was 80, so there's a lot of a lot of years there. But as a result of that, he did not have hardly any relationship with his father. So he didn't really have an example to teach us 3 boys, because I have 2 older brothers, how to be a father to children, because he didn't have a father that was a father to him. And so I didn't exactly I knew that kind of going into it, into this child thing, you know, knowing I didn't have much of a relationship with a man who knew how to do that and how to mentor me that way. So I purposely found other avenues. As I mentioned, you know, elder gentlemen in the church who took me in.
Right.
Dr. Dobson was a great friend of ours. I mean, when it comes to those child rearing books, I mean, that man was on spot for some things. And, you know, probably if I had to say there's one thing that contributed to me being halfway successful with my kids, it's because I read nearly every book Dr. Dobson wrote about child rearing. I don't want to hear him talking about other things, but he's pretty good about that. And so we took that to heart. And I had a partner who agreed with me in that. Because my children's mother didn't have any raising either. Her father died at a young age, and she was an orphan. And so she had no example in that way either. So we were both kind of clueless in that area. But we purposely sought out someone who would be an example for us.
Well, good deal. So we've been talking about all this. So let's move into what can you guys say would be one of the most rewarding things about being a father or an experience? Has there been something that has just been really rewarding for you in being a father?
Yeah, when you're been many of them, really. Of course, our kids are grown, you know, but as our kids were, you're trying to get them to work around the house, you know, and, you know, your kids don't want to do nothing. You know, I can remember when I was at work one year, it was snowing, and you was putting out hay, and then, boy, you called me, and you was having trouble putting out hay, and it was snowing. And I said, we got 2 high school boys. Where are them boys? And you're like, well, they're in the house watching cartoons or TV or whatever. Had I been there, I would be in jail, and they would be in the grave. Because I would have beat both of them until they quit breathing. You know what I mean? How could you let your mama go outside and feed hay to cows in the snow, and you sit in the house? And so anyway, it's those times.
Part of that was my fault too.
But. It's those times, but it's the opposite of that though. When so this is kind of why when they're high school, you got to make them go do stuff all the time. And then every time they have a job or go work for anyone else, they'd always come up and tell you, man, your boys are such hard workers. Your kids, they just work so hard. And you know, I'm like, what? Hmm. Wait. They ain't working hard for me, you know, but it shows you that, okay, they are doing it. You know what I mean? So you hear that your children are all hard workers. And that's something that, like I said, from my dad and the way I come from, that was a big thing. You know what I mean? You should work hard. You know what I mean? And so I know it's gets into works with the religion, but you know what I mean? In the flesh part side, you know, it's nice. And I have the kids now that, They do a lot of the work, and there's people here that don't work. It's their jobs. They have coworkers that are lazy and they don't work. And I said, well, you might as well just get used to that, because there's a lot of people out there like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, but to hear other people, when other people come up and tell you how something that means something to you, you know what I mean?
Well, with work being something,
right, the way I was raised, that was to be a hard worker, you know. And someone's like, man, your kid's the laziest kid I know. That would have been devastating to me because of the way I was raised. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's the biggest thing out there is that, but it was something that meant a lot. You know what I mean? And they did that. And then we've tried to raise our kids in the church. You know, we're, like I said, we went to church some. We had to go to Sunday school and whatnot, you know, but we didn't really have a Christian relationship. And I don't remember ever talking about, maybe say Sunday after church, having anybody say, well, what did you learn in Sunday school? You know, or anything like that. They might take you a little, when you were real little, I don't remember. They might look at your crayon drawing of Jonah or something. You know, I don't know. But I don't remember ever having that conversation at home about the Bible or about Christ or about anything in the Bible, really. And, like I said, my dad wasn't very, involved in church at all. And he is now, and he's way, way, way later, you know, but he didn't go to church on Sundays. Well, Dad don't have to go. Why don't we have to go? You're going, you know? And so I wasn't smart enough to read the books like Jim and you know, and Gage, they were smart enough to seek others for advice. And I was the caveman that just, we'll figure it out. We'll do it, you know? And so it was harder on me, you know, maybe it was pride. I don't know what it was, but you know what I mean? I'd just been raised that you just do it. You don't ask for help. You just do it, you know? And if you don't have money, you just do that. You know, it's your own fault. So, I had to do stuff the hard way. And so, you know, you learn, you know, from trial and error at, if something, you do something that works, you know, you can keep doing that. If it don't work, okay, we got to do something different, you know? Right. And so, but I've heard multiple stories about all three of my kids that just make you really, I don't want to say proud. That's not the right biblical word, because pride comes for a fall. But
a sense of pride.
You're proud of your kids. You know, I must have did something right, didn't get it all wrong, you know, because I can remember one time when Jason stood up for a kid, you know. Oh, Minnie, the Mexican boy they called Minnie, that I guess when they come over here, him and Minnie have become friends, and they was like fifth grade, I think. They were pretty young, but the boys were big, and all the kids picked on little Minnie, and Jason told them boys that one day, he said, if you're picking on him, you're picking on me too. And then nobody ever messed with Minnie ever again. You know what I mean? Because they seen them two twin boys, they're like, we're going to fight both those two. Okay, I mean, you're cool, you know? And so it kind of, but that just made me feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, as good as a father. And then, like I said, I got a story for all of them, you know what I mean? That they've all done something like that just really, you know what I mean? I can remember, Jacob had a friend that was on drugs. And Jacob told him, if I ever see you doing those drugs again, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to knock you out. You just stay away from them, you know, because they ain't no good for you. And then the next time he sees the guy, he's high or whatever. So Jacob just punches him, knocks him plumb out, you know, just knocks him plumb on the ground. And he's like, hey, I told you what was going to happen. Now, did he go about it the right way? Probably not, but he was trying his best to help a friend out to get him off drugs. You know what I mean? And so I remember the guy's father, was running to Jacob, and Jacob's like, well, I guess I'm going to have to fight his dad now, probably, you know what I mean? And his father actually came up and said, I heard what you done, you know? He said, stuck out his hand and said, I just want to thank you. He said, he ain't got very many friends that's willing to do anything to try to help him. You know what I mean? He said, that's a true friend right there that will do what you done. And so you hear about that kind of stuff. He was the one telling me the story. And so you hear about that kind of stuff with your kids, you know what I mean? He just thinks, it gives you, you know, I just think that's probably how God feels about Jesus when he went to the cross and done everything. You can't say enough good about he done what he was supposed to do. You know what I mean? And so, it just, like the father, it's like, it's got a lot of ups and downs, and there's no one way to do anything. You know what I mean? Because one child needs this, the other one needs that, and they don't come with a manual, you know, and so it's parenting's tough. I think it's probably the toughest job anybody will ever have. And if you have pride in your work, you know what I mean? Which, you know, that's what was my deal was, you know, you had some pride in your work. You did a good job. So you want to do the best job you can do, even if it's parenting. And you know what I mean? To see that you know, I know where lots and lots of things that you messed up and screwed up, and as long as you can't go back and fix it, you know. And so, like I said, once they're 18 and, you know, on their own, you know, really it's probably a lot earlier than 18. It's more like probably 14, 15, you know. Gage is about all done with his, but you know what I mean? It's one of those that you do the best you can with what you know how to do, you know what I mean? And the ones that have God in there with them have such an advantage over the ones that don't, because we started off, you know, we knew God, but we didn't know God. You know, we knew of him. I knew of God, but I did not know God until my kids were probably, I'm going to guess, around 12, 13 years old, somewhere like that neighborhood. So they were kind of in the halfway or over halfway. You know, we had missed so much of the starting early. You know what I mean? And so we had to teach the old dog new tricks kind of deal. You know, we probably went about the hard way, but and I see our kids now, and it's just like, well, they turned out good. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? It's a rewarding deal. That, you know, they're in church and then they're, you know, they're trying to do right and they're just, you know what I mean? And so that's just and I could try to compare that to, you know, to me. Does my father see me in heaven? You know, my godly father see me as being someone he's proud of? Am I the one that's punching a friend trying to get him lined out? You know what I mean? And that may be how I feel like that's probably how I go about most of my stuff. You know what I mean? Like, my heart, I meant well. You know what I mean? I meant to do the right thing. I may not have done it right. You know what I mean? But it was because of lack of knowledge. You know what I mean? And so I did what I thought I needed to do. You know what I mean? I mean, I did it the right way. And so so it relates, you know, as a father. I know the mother's probably the same thing. But, you know, God's the father, you know what I mean? So it's so hard. And so to relate that is the way you father a child to me is knowing God. And that's to see how you're supposed to love them no matter what, you know, and it's.
Yes. And I was going to go to that here in just a little bit. So I'm going to pause you on that thought for a minute. Okay. And we'll jump back on that here in just a minute. But Gage and Jim, I wanted to know, is there a rewarding what would be one of the most rewarding things for you as being a father?
Well, I mean, I will jump right in there and give the ideal church answer. I mean, hands down, number one, and we all, and like I said, there's countless, hard to remember with each kid, but, you know, all three of our kids' salvation. I mean, that.
Yeah.
I mean, that, not that your parenting's done, it's far from done, but we are called to raise godly children. And so, that and being able to be a part of that and see that, hands down, you know, is if nothing else, then, you know, I mean, and that's right. You know what I say when I say that. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes with that. But stingily, I will say totally, you know, that has to be it. And I have to, and I will totally put it on my kids to that, and eat him against my wife. And if y'all know Kim, she can sure. I mean, she will get her way in a good way, you know, on dragging me and making me grow in my relationship with the Lord. You know, I needed that kick in the butt to get me, you know, on that. But then with that started and then my kids coming in there, that was, you know, just over the top because, you know, I got a girl, y'all have already got kids that are graduating. I've got a daughter that's fixing to graduate next year. And they're only here. You know, we only have them for a short time in their big picture of life. And I just will go back to that on their salvation. You know, we're only have them, like I said, for a short time. And we try to prepare them for the whole world, you know, on that. But, man, I am stingy. And I'm not satisfied with just having my kids for their hopefully long life here on earth and mine, too. I want them for eternity, you know, on that. And I can get choked up just thinking about that because that's the number one thing, you know, that I know that's sealed. And so, again, there's so much more to go with that. And, you know, and it is, it's, the work ethic and the taking up for other people. And, you know, there's so many that are countless, but that has to be it for me. You know, as far as
there's
got to
be several facets of that.
There is, you know, there's so much of that that just takes the cake. But that would be number one for me as far as, you know, proud and, you know, not saying that your job is done, but you've sure, like James said, man, if you've got God in your quarter, man, they've got so many obstacles in front of them. And where I was lacking in that, you know, raised in church, but I'm not going to say I had the strongest relationship yet. So, until later in life. And if they've got that, they're already ahead of the game. You've already prepared them so much more, you know, for life and what it's going to throw to them. And they're certainly going to take wrong paths, but they've got that to fall back on. That foundation's there. And so that would be what I'd have to say.
Well, and you know, and as you're talking, you know, because you're coming to that point to where, like you said, your daughter's about to graduate. So you've spent all of her life to prepare her to go out into the world, and she's about to go out into the world. And so that has to be it's going to be a whole new transition for you in that. But what a great thing that you're saying is that, you know what, things do happen, but as long as she has God, you know, she's going to be okay.
Right.
Because she has that salvation.
Absolutely.
And so that's good. And
And I know that as a father, you want to prepare your child for anything they could possibly ever run across. Good Lord, there's no way I'd have ever thought my boys would be crossing the stuff they're crossing right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so there's just the whole deal. You can't.
We're so ill-equipped, you know, on that. As a father, you could spend every minute and do, you know, everything. But as, you know, human flesh, we are so ill-equipped.
Right.
But we are blessed with a Heavenly Father that's not.
Right.
He can deal with everything. He already has the answer for everything that's there going to happen, that happened yesterday, that's going to happen tomorrow, that's going to happen 30 years from now.
Right.
That if they can lean on Him, you know, as number one, that it's he will he can work where we are not able to. He will tenfold, totally, you know, help them through any situation.
So, Jim, did you have anything to add on the most rewarding thing about being a father?
Well, I won't be repetitive or from the Department of Repetitive Redundancies Department with what they were saying, but I will say that one of the things that I'm most proud of my kids is because we grew up in, you know, a tough situation. As I said, I worked a lot. I always made sure that their mother stayed home and could take care of the kids full time. So I worked a lot and worked several jobs simultaneously. And we went through some very rough times. The kids were they were 10, 11, 12. And, you know, we were foreclosed on and lost everything we owned. We lost our home and lost a business and just literally picked up and moved somewhere and started over. And they were with me through all of that. And it has impressed them enough that they understand fiscal responsibility. They understand a good work ethic. And they don't work places when people don't say, wow, you're one of the best people we have here. And they get promotions all the time. And to this day, they make a whole lot more money than Daddy does, you know.
Which
and
you want that.
Which is what you want.
Yes.
It's like, you know, in spite of how I think I screwed up so bad, you know, in trying to care for the kids, they really have turned out really well in that area. And it makes you feel that, wow, you were paying attention. You realize that there is more to life than hard times. You can do things right and you have a good work ethic and you can be a hard worker and it'll pay off, you know.
That's right. All right. So here we're going to move into another one. And you guys are going to have to be honest. Have you guys ever made a mistake as being a father? Have you ever made a mistake?
Yeah, that didn't take very long.
No, I mean, today I can go through my mind, you know, and just today, you know, I'm blessed with today boys were with me working and it's hot, you know, on that. And I'm not saying it was a glorified job and everybody was excited about screeding sand all day on getting a slab ready, and you know, and just today you know, you're hot and you're mad and they should be doing better. And, you know, of course they're out there working. I'm not saying that, but they're also only 12 and 15. And you yell and you holler and say some stuff you probably shouldn't say, you know, on that. And, but you also are raising strong kids and, you know, that take the time to say after you yell and holler and you do get done what you're done, that they, unlike I'd have never done, they are, I don't know how to say it, respectful enough to come up and say, hey, you know, their dog. We felt like we should have been talked to that way or hollered at. You know, and before, I mean, we all, like old school, we were hollered. I was hollered at a lot. And I can't say that there wasn't very many times that I didn't deserve it, you know, on that deal. I also do know that as we grow and, like you said, well, you see what your father did and you see how the Heavenly Father treats us, you know, and that's what we want to strive for. You know, we make the, again, the mistake today of hollering at boys, but then taking the time to actually talk to them, which my dad would have never done. It was over. You know, you got hollered at. That was that. You kept your mouth shut. You just went on back to work. Mm-hmm. Of course, we finished what we were doing, but took the time to talk to them, which, and I can say I haven't done very many times, you know, but they're obviously getting there. They're getting older. They deserve that. I demand respect. And I can say that, you know, as a father, I can say that for all of us sitting in here. You know, we've got respectful kids. You know, and so in return, they deserve respect for me. And so just today, like I said, making the mistake of handling a situation like I shouldn't have, but wanting to, them being wise enough that I sure wouldn't have been. I don't want to say wise is right, but wanting to talk through that on like, hey, we really didn't appreciate that. Yeah, we were leaning on the shovel instead of running it, you know, but they recognize that, but you know, talk through that. And so, it is with that mistake, you know, before I'd have made it, I'd have hollered, I'd have cussed and I'd have thrown a fit and everybody been mad for the next 2 hours and, but then it had gone away. But with that mistake and having raising a little bit different, like we went to before on what we, how we were raised and then how we want to, you know, raise our kids or see or how it should be raised. It sure made it a lot better. Now, whether it fixes it, I'll probably holler and cuss to do the same thing next time. I hope not, but I will at least hopefully try to give it a thought, you know, for their sake on that. So,
well, and so talking about mistakes, when I asked that question, you all pretty much shook your head like, huh, yeah. And so, with that being said, because even in parents, we're human. We make mistakes, and that is the fact. And so, but there is a way to, like what you were talking about, Gage, there's a way to recover from your mistakes. There's a difference in when you make a mistake, how you handle that mistake with your kid. And that's okay. That's okay if we make mistakes. But with that being said, you know, James had talked a little bit about earlier, he said, how our relationship with our father or our children's relationship with their father can be a reflection on their relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so with that being said, is that something that is hard for you as fathers? Because mothers, I think it's a little bit different, because fathers just hold a different, well, I mean, there's just different roles. The father holds one role and the mother holds another. And is that something that is a lot of pressure on a father? And is that something you think about? And how is that something that you handle? Or is that even something that you think about, maybe even?
I don't. See, I don't really think about it usually at the time. That's one of them afterthoughts, you know. Like you said, you're in the moment. You're hot. You're tired. You're yelling, screaming, cussing, whatever you're doing at them, you know. And, you know, I don't think there's a man alive that would honestly say that he wants to cuss at his kids.
Yeah.
He enjoys to cuss at his kids. And there's probably not very many that haven't cussed at their kids in the same breath. You know what I mean? And so it's one of those things that you just, because it's like, you know, in the Bible, he says, my flesh does what I don't want it to do. You know what I mean? And that's us. We don't want to cuss and holler at our kids, but at the same time, you want them to do good. You want them to do right. You know, you want them to, you know, if you can teach them to do stuff right the first time, they won't spend their life doing it 4 or 5 times. And so, and that was my dad. I know he, like I said, he yelled at you all the time. It was nothing to get yelled at. Yeah. I mean, to me, when I went into the workforce and my boys are the same way, because they've told me, Dad, thank you for hollering and screaming at us and cussing at us, because when they go to work and get hollering and screaming and cussed at, they're just like, you know, nothing. Okay, this is what you do. You know what I mean? You just keep on going and you do what you're told.
Yeah.
And they have worked with other guys that's their age and younger that if you scream at them, they're just like, they think you've beat them. You know what I mean? He yelled at me. And then my boy's like, what? He was yelling. Okay, and, you know, and so they just come back. So it's one of those things that it's a negative thing probably, but it turns out, like, you know what I mean? The devil tries to do something negative, but God turns it for his good. It's little things like that that actually somewhat it prepares them. It kind of shows them what real world is. You got to be real with your kids, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I'm not saying go cuss at them or none of that, but I'm saying that there's some things that I felt bad about doing with my kids that I really felt, man, I screwed it up. I wasn't a very good dad. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And then to come back and some of those very things, they come back as young adults and tell you, hey, thank you for, you know,
right,
for that, because it's helped them, you know, in their deal. And so it's even sometimes when we screw up, you know what I mean, they don't. The kids, I remember, I think it was Tim Rogers in her men's prayer meeting was saying that kids go through three phases. They start out thinking that their parents know everything, you know, and can't do no wrong. Then they go through the phase where their parents know nothing. And then they finally come into a phase where, you know what, my parents know a lot more than I thought they did. You know,
right. Yeah, that's
and he said
true.
Some kids stay in that middle one for a long time. But you know what I mean? And so I think about that, and that's because my kids are grown, and so now they did at one time. They thought, you know, you just hung the moon type deal as a dad. You know what I mean? And I know some people have bad dads and bad, you know what I mean, and stuff. But it's not always the same. But that's a pretty broad spectrum. It's pretty accurate for most kids right there. And as to me as a dad, and to see them come back and some of that, you know, dad knew a lot more than I thought he did, or mom and dad knew a lot more than I thought he did. It's pretty rewarding to us because we started out young. You know, we had family, but like I say, we didn't no more know what we was doing, you know what I mean, than nothing, you know. And we made so many mistakes, you know, looking back now, how we would have done this, we would have done that, you know. But when your kids turn out good and you come back and some of the stuff you really thought you've really screwed it up, I really should have never done this to my kids, and they come back and tell you that very thing. Mm-hmm. That's just, I think, God working it to give you that peace that, look, you didn't know no better. You know, you did the best you could, and you did it from the heart, which is what God judges. Yes. And so I think, like I said, my advice to fathers is, you know, one, you might as well just never trust a thing your kids say. Because they're going to get away with all they can get away with. You know what I mean? We learned that through our children. You know, it was a deal. But anyway, kind of jokingly. But then also there is some truth in that, too, you know.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It seems like I'm trying to drag out the bad, but that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to is our listeners, any dads out there that, look, we've all made mistakes and we didn't all get it right. And so I want it to be an encouragement to them that you can still, it's okay if you make mistakes. God makes up the difference and there's grace there. And that's really why I was trying to ask you guys if you've made mistakes. It's not that I think we're supposed to be perfect or anything, but that it's okay.
Absolutely. And I can, you know, from that, like I said, I had an outstanding dad, and I can, there's very few mistakes that I remember and a lot of good. You know, on
yes,
that, you know,
yes.
And he made lots of mistakes too. I mean, everybody does. But, you know, looking back now, you know, on that, there, I don't remember the mistakes. You know, I can remember, you know, I mean, incidents or something like that, that, like you said, James, later, hindsight come back, like, man, sorry, I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have thrown that at you, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
But I don't, you know, that's, the kids are amazing on, you know, like our father, you know, it is, and that's something that you sure want to strive for. The mistakes and our sins are as far from the east as they are from the west.
That's
you
right.
know, and as a father, you know, your kids, you want them to do, you know, yeah, we make mistakes. Forget that. You know, I mean, it's made up with love. That mistake's forgotten. And that's all I can, you know, looking back at mine, there was lots of mistakes, but I don't remember those, you know, as far as 10 times more the good, the advice, the, you know, stuff that.
That's right.
I don't remember the weeks and through all and four dads, everybody's listening is when it really comes down to it. And of course, I got kids in school, and yes, you have to go to school, and yes, you have to learn, and you know, everything else. But if I think about the stuff that I use every day that gets me through the day, that makes me a better man, that provides, and it was learned at home, It was, you know,
that's right,
through my dad, or, you know, I mean, on that stuff. We've talked about work ethic. We've talked about respect. You know, all that is, that's at home. You know, that's moms and dads, or, you know, if it's just a single parent house, that's what I mean, really. I mean, the school's important, and I'm not saying it's not and all that, but the stuff that I use is sure enough daily is what I learned at home.
That's right.
As Dr. Dobson put it, and I'll quote because I read all of his books, the values that our children have are caught more than they're taught.
There you go.
They That's will good. Follow the values that we exhibit to them more than what we try to teach them.
Absolutely.
And Gage is right. That's how we teach it to them, is by demonstrating those values.
That's right. And that's really what I wanted to share with our listeners tonight. As we're talking about being a father and raising kids and knowing that we're not perfect, but it's okay. If you make mistakes, that's kind of where I was going. You know, they look at that relationship with you as they do with their heavenly father. But, you know, that's where God comes in with dads having that relationship with the Lord that helped them through that. And like you said too, Gage, that your children are saved and they have the Lord as well. And so anywhere where you're lacking, God can make up that difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, with that being said, if there's any dads out there that might be beating themselves up or just need to be some encouragement, would one of you guys be willing to pray for any of our dads that are listening out there, you know, just to encourage them to keep going? It's going to be okay. You're doing good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity just to share the gift of fatherhood that you're the Almighty, the one that we strive to be like, and anybody that's listening that feels like they've made mistakes or irreparable mistakes or any of that, or just struggling with just being a father, that you look to him, that he's the ultimate father. He is, just with every thought and with every motion and every idea and every act that we do, if we can do it with his intent in mind with our kids, you're going to be a father that is just unbelievable. I pray that if you're struggling and needing to find somebody that you respect and ask questions and I just pray that they would soften their hearts and just be willing to not dwell on the mistakes, but to just build a stronger relationship with their children and be the father that our father wants us to be.
Yes.
And that, again, there's no mistake that is not forgivable from our father. And so, anything that has happened or that is done, that you go to him and then again, ask his guidance and just be there. Just be there to listen, be there to provide, just anything that you can do. Just don't give up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, as you were praying, this story came up because the fact of the matter is we're human and we make mistakes. But I was reminded, you know, we want to honor our fathers. You know, during this time, they do make mistakes. This is, you know, why we have Father's Day. But I think back to my father, and he did. He made some mistakes. They were some pretty big mistakes. But one thing I can remember is I loved my daddy. I loved my daddy. It didn't matter. All that, and still to this day, my daddy's not living anymore. And still to this day, I would like to talk to him and tell him that I love him. And that I forgive him for all of that, and that I still admire him. And I just think there's something about that relationship with your parents that even though you make mistakes, you still love those parents no matter what. And so just know that if you have made some mistakes, it's okay because your children love you. God has just put that in them. And when I say, I mean, my dad was, I mean, it was pretty, it is as much as worse as you can imagine. And so anyway, just know that God can make up that difference, and that's what I mean. I just love my dad. even through all those mistakes. And so again, we just thank you so much for tuning in tonight and listening to Gage and James and Jim. Thank you guys for being here with me. I appreciate you being candid and sharing your story and being honest and real, because that's really what it is. It's, we're real people and real things happen. And we just want to remind you that we have our Sunday Night Live website at sundaynightlive.org, where we have all of our past messages. You can, or past radio shows, and you can go back and listen to those. And we want to wish all you fathers out there a happy Father's Day. Call your father and let them know that you love them. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next week. Johnny!